You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
All right, welcome in. Happy hump day, a little First Friday edition. Cleveland Browns Daily, Nathan Zagura, solo today. We got Gibbe behind the glass, not even out here with me, sad. Bo still gallivanting around the islands. Good for him and the fam
out
there.
Do you have any updates?
I'm gonna try to get one right now. It's a good idea. Let's see.
I mean, is Bootsy behaving himself? Have we had any international incidents? I know it's still within the United States, but
It feels like.
Yeah.
Perhaps not. We'll see. I said, any updates? How's my boy? We're good here, obviously. The owners' meeting's wrapping up down in Orlando, Florida. So we'll talk about that kickoff preview as well. We're going to have Kelsey Russo, Brown staff writer in studio, who was down at the NFL owners' meetings.
Correct.
To give us her take on that. It'll be the first time I've gotten to have her. She was on at the Combine, right? That's when she made her CBD debut?
Correct.
So this is her second appearance ever?
Yes, you were gallivanting.
I was gallivanting. I missed those days. I miss the days of gallivanting. Right now, I have gallivanting envy because I'm not gallivanting, but others are.
There's no gallivanting.
Basically, everybody I know is gallivanting right now. Spring break.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're here, not us. We're here for you. By the way, I just want to say, got a ton of positive feedback yesterday, kind of everywhere that I went, whether it be the store, what have you. Actually, it was out at happy hour with my good buddies, The Nash and G Dizzle, and people loved yesterday's show. They were like, it was so fun with you and Donovan. It seems like you guys had a great. I was like, I had the best time. It was a very fast 2 hours. It was awesome. So it's great to have the voice back. Great to see him. And obviously, that show yesterday felt like just like riding a bike, and felt very easy, very fast, and hopefully very entertaining to all of you out there.
Let's hope we can replicate it today. In terms of the speed.
I was going to say, you're not going to get...
I'm not replicating.
The voice isn't there. Right there,
not,
you just got
I'm
my backpack.
I'm not replicating the content that the voice brings to the table.
Yeah, you just got my backpack over there today, which is not adding nearly as much. We got this beautiful Billy Joel, Rod Stewart football. Go ahead and feast your eyes on that. I know you're excited.
Solid Wilson.
You know it's only one night only, right? You guys know that. Do you know that by now? You should. All right, our hot topics of the day presented by Vivid Seats, official fan experience partner of the Cleveland Browns. I will say, when somebody had said, I think it was Griff maybe last week, or maybe it was Uno, why we have to wait so long for the tournament games again, I was like, what do you mean? It's not that long. As I sit here right now, like, I'd like to have some tournament action on my TV tonight.
Yeah, how about tonight?
Yeah, I'd like to have a little bit. Yeah, but I get why they do it. It's a Thursday, Saturday, Friday, Sunday. It's even for everybody. It's
would
all
you,
those things.
Would you prefer a Wednesday to Saturday?
I mean, my day is geared on a Sunday is geared around typically, you know, this week I would, Sunday being Easter, right? I would probably, this week be like, Wednesday, Saturday would be great. But it's also nice when you're at a family gathering to be able to have kind of the sports on the background
in the back.
To talk about. So, no, I think it's fine. I'm just right on Sundays. My whole goal is to get to 10 o'clock as fast as possible because then I get curb. And we only have, I think...
Two left?
I don't want to say it out loud. Yeah, I think only two left. Did you watch last week's?
I didn't yet.
Oh,
I was saving it for the plane ride on Friday.
Oh, you're going to enjoy it. It's really good. The premise, I'll just get, like, this doesn't give anything away, but one of the premises is about people who toss their keys to the valet or people who hand their keys to the valet and how that some valets don't like it, some do, and, of course, You can imagine with Larry, that's going
to... Not a big fan of the tossing of the keys.
You're not a tosser, you're a hander.
I'm a hander.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny now, like with my car, and I think probably with most cars, when are you even in a position really to hand or toss your keys
it's
to the valet?
It's the key fob.
It's in, you keep it in the car.
Yeah.
Most of the time, is the key fob in the car? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're right. I don't hand it off usually.
Yeah, it's more, I think, maybe like in a garage situation where you have to like park in a garage and then you have to go give them your key so that they could move your car in the event that they need to, like in a New York or an LA garage where you're like four cars in a row, or like when you go to the underneath at the queue sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to like give them your keys. I still say, no, my key's in the car. You're fine. Just... Yeah, I'm not really a hander or a tosser. I feel like if it was one of the two, especially because mine's just a fob. Like, there's something fun about tossing a set of keys that's like that looks like a badminton shuttlecock in the air, you know. But yeah, I'm a hander. You'll see, Larry. We'll see. You'll see what Larry does.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's good. It's very good. Andrew Berry was with the media in Florida, and we are going to hear that full session for you, I believe, tomorrow.
Tomorrow
on tomorrow's program here. Starting on Nick Chubb, he said, should begin to load run at some point in the upcoming month. He's working on strengthening his quad and working through his rehab, but isn't at the point where he's doing sprints or agility drills at the moment. However, they expect within the next month, that is the next step Chubb will take. Quote, I think that's the next call. 3 months will be pretty telling in terms of his potential readiness for early in the season. Notice that he did not say there his potential readiness for the start of the season. He said early in the season. And I think that's it. If we kind of go into it with my expectation right now, and this is based on nothing, I'm no doctor, is it, I'm saying from my mindset as a fan, would be I'm expecting him to open the season on the PUP list, and if he doesn't, huge bonus.
Correct.
That's just kind of how I'm looking at it.
Yeah. Well, you and the voice mentioned it yesterday with the acquisition of Foreman.
Yeah. It's a pretty good running back room.
And Pierre Strong and Jerome Ford. Like, you've got a stable now of running backs.
Yep.
So it's definitely setting it up like it could be by committee.
Yeah.
Which you would expect given the severity of his injury, but you also know that we shouldn't rule out Nick Chubb on anything.
That's what I said. If anybody's going to kind of beat the timelines or be, you know, fastest ever, Nick Chubb would be at the top of that list. After trading two 2024 picks for Jerry Jeudy, the Browns currently have five picks for this year's draft. Number 54 in the second round, number 85 in the third round, number 156 in the fifth, 206 in the sixth, and 243 in the seventh. So five picks, a second, a third, a fifth, a sixth, a
seventh.
Really
need to get rid of that seventh.
No one, no four. Sure. With the gap between the third and the fifth, Barry said the potential for movement isn't off the table, but also isn't top of mind. And that's partly because I think this football team is in a position right now with its roster where it's already over the 53-man roster, over like 53 deep. So, yeah, that's kind of where you're at.
I mean, it's
you'll
hear from him again tomorrow, but a lot of it was best available.
Best
available.
Right.
Like, we have no idea
what's
going to happen in the first 53 picks, you know. Did any of us have MJ Emerson coming off the board?
No.
The year that we took him?
And
no.
Quite frankly, he would have been a great first-round pick that year.
Correct. So. And you mentioned it yesterday. I mean, you take a look at the guys that we've drafted who aren't first-round picks. They would have first-round grades now.
Yeah, JOK, Delpit, MJ, DeJuan Jones, for sure. So they've done a very good job despite not having, even though I realize in the JOK year, Greg Newsom was a first-round pick. I realize we had first-round picks. But that's been, a very good thing for this football team. And you're going to have to do it again. Now, this could be the first year, if we stay at 54, this could be the first year we pick a second-round pick in this stretch as well. Pretty sure JOK was the last second-round pick that we drafted. Because in 22, we didn't.
Nothing last year.
And 23, you didn't. 22 was MJ Emerson's rookie year.
Yep.
23, you traded your two for Elijah Moore and a three. So you got a player for it. I mean, he was really your second round pick. So there you go. Dustin Hopkins is the kicker. Cade York, again, he's here in a developmental role and to see if he can kind of ever fulfill that promise the Browns saw in him when they drafted him. And certainly we all saw his talent, his ability to hit that, 58-yarder against Carolina in his first ever NFL game. Here's what Barry said. He said, quote, we're really happy with We're really happy with us, and obviously Dustin's our kicker this year, barring any type of catastrophic injury or something along those lines. But we felt like Cade was one of, if not the best options to work with in that developmental spot. So that's
well, and he hasn't worked with
Bubba Ventrone. No.
So, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see what Bubba can do with him. The talent is there. It's just molding it to where we need it to be.
Exactly. It's all there. Right. It's just finding it, the confidence. That's what you probably, part of it's probably a little bit of a mental rehab.
Yep.
With Cade York, and hopefully the Browns, you know, will be able to do that. All right, just got an update from Bo Bishop. Thriving, however, Bootsy on another 24-hour no-gift ban due to misbehavior in the rental car. He really struggles here. He loves snorkeling, saw whales, sharks, and sea turtles because this is a big ban. We are going golfing this afternoon, and the pro shop is sick. We'll test his every instinct.
He's on a no shopping?
Yeah. This is his second 24-hour no-gift ban.
Wow. That's going to crush him. Because, you know, the other two are going to be like, I want a hat, I want a polo, maybe a pullover. You know, can I get some shoes? I can see the other two really going to a whole nother level on that. I wonder where they're playing golf.
Maui, maybe Kapalua.
I'll okay. find out. Who gets hurt with that?
Nobody.
Correct. Sure, the weather.
Like, where are we golfing?
Let me look and see here.
By the way, that's a pretty good deal. Like, I don't know about you guys, but if I was on a trip and I ran afoul of my folks and to the point where I was, like, going to get banned, I would be on a gift ban, like, for the rest of the trip.
Yeah.
24 hours. Like, you bounce right back.
Yeah.
You bounce right back from that.
Maui right now, 71 degrees.
Glorious.
Going up to 79. It's a rough one. Sunshine and a few. I mean, every single day is 77 to 79.
It's a pretty good place.
When does he come home?
When's he come home?
Yeah, because that jet lag's going to be a problem come Monday's show, I feel like.
He'll be back. He'll be fine. He'll be thriving. He'll be ready to go.
Oh, yeah. I look forward to the phone call at 1:05 as I'm teeing off somewhere.
I'll be here, though.
Not on Tuesday.
I'm dreading it.
You really shouldn't. You'll be
fine. I'm dreading it. I'm dreading the whole prep.
You not being able to eat is probably going to be the bigger problem.
Well, yeah, and like, you know, I'm a man. I'm 45. When you reach that age, there are things that you have to do, too, that are unpleasant, and that's what I'm combating right now. I have to do something that is unpleasant, and the prep for it sounds unpleasant. It's terrible.
Griff laughed. Griff got a good laugh out of that.
It's going to be awful. They're playing at Wailea Golf Club. He said the head cover game alone may make him pass out.
Man. Good for – hey, you know what? There's penalties. The car ride.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have had that as the problem.
I know. What could he have done? We just don't know.
I don't – like, you know they're going to have a big SUV.
Yeah, but I'm sure he was probably, are we there yet? He's crawling around, eating, maybe throwing snacks around, smacking his brothers. Yeah, it's probably fighting with his brothers, like, NBC's pushing me. Bootsy, zip it.
It doesn't matter. You're in Hawaii. I can think of far worse things to be dealing with.
Yeah.
So, good for them.
Good for them,
bad
indeed.
For Bootsy. Good for everybody else.
He's what an unbelievable kid. What a legend.
I just want to know, do the penalties start to extend into when we get home, you're on lockdown because of what has happened on this trip?
No, I think he's just gonna be just fine, thriving. And he's gonna be just fine. I'm not worried about him whatsoever. All right. Those are our hot topics. And then the final one, of course, happy birthday to my lovely bride, Miss K.
Big plans?
Yeah, just a nice dinner. We kind of had like a pre-birthday weekend this past weekend.
Gotcha.
Like a little nice dinner out, spa day. Then I made a beef, I don't even know how to say it, bourguignon, I guess how you say it, which was unreal, Julia Child's recipe. So we had a lovely weekend, and that was kind of like the real celebration. And then obviously today, Wednesday.
Yeah. What is the fam coming over? Or the parentals?
We'll do that. This Saturday coming up with her fam. Her parents are still out of town, so they'll be back, and then we'll do it this weekend.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Is there a go-to spot?
I think we're going to her parents' house.
Okay.
We went to Crew, which is a very good place on the east side, French for apps, and they have a cool little bar. And then we went to Antica, which is, there's one on the west side, and they just opened one on the east side, an Italian place,
okay,
which was good, but it would just open, like it still needed to work out the kinks a little bit. Like they had they have on the menu a chicken parm pizza, which is, I've only had that one other place in the world, is one of my favorite things I've ever eaten. So basically they like pound the chicken out flat. So that's like, imagine the crust of the pizza. Then you have your marinara and your cheese and your basil and some hot honey on top. And it's,
ooh, hot honey.
It's amazing. So the one at Quality Italian, which is the other place I've had it, which is in New York, is perfect. It is perfect in every way. Right amount of sauce, because he needs the sauce, so the cheese is perfect. They have a Calabrian chili honey that they serve, where you have one of those old, you know, honey server things where it's like the wooden thing with the little slats in it, and you can twist it and do all that.
Wow.
So it's like a nice presentation, and it was the best. This, good, still not bad, but
they just got to perfect. Got
to perfect. We got to pound the chicken out more. We need a little more marinara, because they had an excellent marinara. And then, yeah, I think the presentation of the honey, that'd be nice to have that little thing, that little stick's a fun, that honey stick is a fun thing to use.
So this is my issue. We're leaving. We'll be in Florida this weekend with the in-laws. And every time we go on the trip, somehow it's become my obligation. I make the dinner reservations.
Okay. I love that.
So, which I love to do, and I love finding new places, places off the radar that maybe they wouldn't go to. And
yep.
They don't want to go to their usual spots because they can go to those whenever.
Yep.
For whatever reason, like I feel real good about three of my selections.
Okay.
The fourth one I booked, and like I was kind of going through it with my wife last night.
Okay.
Like just the menu. And a lot of times, like.
So you go through, how do you do it? You do it based on the menu and reviews. Do you use OpenTable?
I use OpenTable. I'll
check the reviews on OpenTable.
Correct. I'm a big TripAdvisor.
Okay.
I go through that app, uh-huh, and you kind of look through and see. And I knew the location I wanted, and I'm like, do I want to go to something we've already done? Because there's a fantastic Italian joint up in Punta Gorda.
I think it's for you, but, though, because you're not always there. You should go. You should play your hits at least once while you're down there.
Well, and that's. I have the one restaurant we're going to for Easter is the home run spot.
That's the spot.
And
okay.
I had to get a reservation in like 3 months ago. They don't open on Sundays. This is the only Sunday of the year they're open.
What kind of food is it?
It's called The Veranda.
Okay.
You walk in, all the waiters are in tuxes. Like it's a real deal.
What are you wearing to this joint?
Nice little place.
Going from the fruit stand collection?
Fruit stand is.
Oh, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll be well represented. And I usually go the nice. They have a fantastic rack of lamb.
Ah,
that is.
That sounds delightful.
Yeah, the Caesar is literally made right tableside, anchovies, all that stuff.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a fantastic little restaurant. But I've got one place that I picked out. I'm like, looks good. Like we've talked about it. We've driven by it before. I booked it. I looked at the menu. I'm like, I think it's good. I think we're going to be all right.
Yeah, but you got to be like excited. Like when you look at the menu, are you excited? You got to get excited.
So I read it like last night. I'm giving my wife a couple of the highlights because she's like, what do you got for us on this trip? Like
yeah,
it's
yeah.
gotten to the point where my mother-in-law's like, I can't wait to find out what he's booked for us. And I read it and I did not get a good, like I didn't get a wow. I didn't get an eye roll. I didn't get I can't wait to eat there.
You got some indifference.
And I'm like, now I'm second guessing this place. Now I might have to go back and scramble to figure out something else.
When you look at a menu for a place that you're going to out of town that you don't know much about, do you look more at their apps, the variety, and what if the apps sound good, or the entrees?
I go entrees.
Okay.
And I'm looking, you know, I mean, you're down in Florida. I'm looking for good seafood, nothing that comes out of a fryer. Like I want fresh, like legit. Like is there a homemade risotto?
Oh,
I'm a big risotto guy.
Have you had the risotto? Do you like a rich risotto?
My wife is a huge risotto fan.
Have you guys had the risotto, the lobster risotto at Luca?
We have not been to Luca.
You need to.
Yeah. And okay.
It's rich, though.
Gotcha. But I mean, it doesn't have to be rich for me. But it's a lot.
It's good. Like, but if you like a risotto, you're going to be very happy. Like, if you like risotto and you like lobster.
The wife and I were talking because I wanted to take her there for her birthday, and we got held up with a number of other obligations and conflicts.
First of all, you got to go there.
You got to have a reservation.
Yeah, got to go there. Got to get the sautéed calamari appetizer. Sometimes they have a whole seafood one, but sautéed, so that'll help offset the heaviness of the risotto. They also have a wild boar ossobuco that is incredible.
See, I like a little ossobuco.
But maybe you do a little ossobuco, you do the wild boar, she does the risotto.
See,
you guys
this has me second guessing if I should have just gone with my Italian staple. Like, it's a house, and it's a giant courtyard. You sit outside, and there's, like, people walking around playing, like, you know, it's the violins and singing.
Yeah.
And I should have maybe just gone with that.
I was talking to one of my buddies the other day, and he's going to have some people over, and he's like, they've all had my best stuff. He's like, so I want to come up with something new. I'm like, look, people like the hits. Like, if you make a great tenderloin, and I know that, and you make it, I'm going to be pumped.
Yeah.
I was like, don't worry about it. It's like going on concert. People want to hear the hits. Yeah. Like, don't be afraid to, if you have, you make something well,
I've got
don't
a
be
new
afraid
restaurant already in play. It's a big deal. I actually needed to go through some
some luminaries helped?
Some luminaries in the chef world.
Really?
For this reservation on Tuesday.
You have those. You have
yes.
Chef world luminaries.
So I needed to go through one of them, actually, to get in. But that one I'm fired up about. There's one of the four that I'm kind of like, could be hit or miss. Well, maybe we'll go to the wine shop, which is right down the street from this place. And they've got a fantastic little wine bar. And
then you'll come in hot. It'll be great.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Very good.
All right.
Bootsy, every time riding the slides, it's like his first time, pure joy. He's loving it. They're having a great time. So good. That makes me happy. Warms the heart to hear the Bishop family doing well. All right. We'll be back with more. We're going to go around the league. A little review of the owners meeting news we didn't get to yesterday. Some new rules. A Christmas announcement that almost made my brain fall out of my head.
Yeah, I was happy to deliver that to you.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, we'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily right after this.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
What is that?
Don't miss Billy Joel and Rod Stewart together for the first time ever. Friday, September the 13th at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Tickets are on sale now. Visit clevelandbrownstadium.com/BillyandRod2024. That's clevelandbrownstadium.com/BillyandRod2024 for more information. It's Billy Joel. It's Rod Stewart. They're together for one night only. This says on here, together for the first time ever. Down here it should say, also the last time they're going to be together. It's one night only. It's Billy Joel.
We
it's
didn't
Rod
even get
Stewart.
Into that yesterday. We didn't have that read to talk to the voice about it.
No,
he's
it is.
Super
Look.
Fired up about it. Please don't break anything.
Well, I had to make sure I didn't hit the camera. Griff, did you see that?
Yes. He saw it.
All right. I thought it was a cool thing. Like the Billy and Rod, they're coming right at you. All right, we're going to go around the league now. We got a review of the owners' meetings. That we did some of the stuff we didn't get to yesterday. First, the owners have voted to approve a trade deadline that will now be pushed back 1 week until the Tuesday after Week 9 games. I mean, it's better than nothing, but keep going.
So
needs to get to Week 12.
Andrew Berry was asked about this yesterday in the powwow, and you'll hear from him tomorrow on it. But he said that he stood up and like got very emotional and talked about it. Like, he was, like, he got very passionate about
because it's true.
About
it's
this.
Too early in an NFL season for teams to know that they're in, that they're out, that they want to do whatever it is that they want to do. It's, to me, it's all about, I think week 12 is the perfect spot. Every other league is at least two-thirds of the way through.
Yeah.
Week 12 is the perfect spot. That's what I would do. Because then you know teams that are looking for next year and teams that are saying, no, I want that piece, let's go. Sometimes it's just too early. All right. Here's one. Oh, baby. From ESPN's Adam Schefter in the Wall Street Journal. We thought we were clear of this. I remember saying, oh, man, it's leap year. Christmas is going to be on a Wednesday this year.
We all talked about it. We all thought that. We're like, the NFL really, how would they logistically do this?
Yep.
Well, they did.
Christmas is going to be on a Wednesday.
First Friday.
We're fine. That means no more of this nonsense. We're so good. Well, no, wrong. The NFL is planning to play games. In fact, two games on Christmas is what I was told.
Will be a doubleheader.
A doubleheader. Matchups yet to be determined. And supposedly it's going to be kind of almost like a four-team pod.
Correct.
And those four teams will play one combination on the Saturday before Christmas and another combination on Christmas Day.
So when we have a Thursday game, we play Sunday, and then you have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you play on Thursday. Their rationale is those four teams will play on Saturday before Christmas.
Yep.
Then you have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then you play on Wednesday. So it's a Thursday-type format.
Yep.
But the NFL is not giving up what they're making on Christmas Day.
That means there'll be games on Christmas forever.
Correct. Because this was the one day that we were like, eh.
There's no way.
Yeah. Not so fast, my friend.
No, it's happening.
That makes for a brutal week, though. Like, I was talking to you about this yesterday. Like, this is almost worse than, like, an overseas-type thing. Because
I want no part of this.
This is that is a gauntlet of a week.
I want no part of this.
It's tough turning it around.
We've had a Christmas interruptus many years in a row.
Yes. Christmas Eve's.
Christmas Day in Green Bay. Christmas Eve in Houston, which wiped out Christmas Eve.
Yeah, by the time we got home.
Yeah.
Although we did a fine job getting us back in a timely fashion, but by the time you got home, it was 11 o'clock at night.
Right. And then the year before, we had Christmas Eve here, and it was freezing. But that was the most normal situation that we've had. The official Nana of the program not pleased with the NFL's decision.
Yeah. Money talks, buddy.
I'm calling my mom buddy?
Buddy.
Okay. Her dad, my grandpa, my papa, his nickname was Bud.
Bud. So
there you go. Buddendorf.
See, yep. There you go.
There you go, buddy. All right, NFL owners have approved a massive revamp of the kickoff play, a format that originated in the XFL, courtesy of The Rock. 29-3 was the vote. So here's what's going to happen. I don't know if we have one of those pictures you can put up there where somebody's laid it out so you can visualize it, a visual thing. But if not, I'm going to paint a picture. I'm going to paint a rich
that
tapestry for you.
That look on his face tells me no.
No. I bet you could find it. If you go back to Pelissero's original tweet, it's there. So the kicker is going to kick from the 35-yard line, his own 35-yard line. Okay?
Yes.
The other 10 players on the kicking team are going to line up on the other 40, on the returning team's 40-yard line. So you're going to have 10 players on the receiving team's 40. Nine members of the return team, at least nine, they could have 10, will line up in a setup zone between the 30 and the 35. Up to two returners can line up in the landing zone between the goal line and the 20. No one other than the kicker and the returner can move until the ball hits the ground or hits a player inside the landing zone, i.e. they catch the ball. So nobody moves. So once that happens now, and there are plenty of videos out there you can watch of the kickoff in the XFL, it's basically like setting up a pretty big running play where you've got 10 guys blocking 10 guys and the kicker is coming down free and your returner's free. And so I think there are definite chances to get some kick return touchdowns. I think that what they're trying to do is promote more returns because the kick return's basically been taken out of the game. Kickers
Correct.
Just kick it right out of the back of the end zone. They're trying to take that out of the game, promote more returns, but do so in a safer manner. So you're not having the high-speed collisions. You're having a 10-yard collision as opposed to a 60-yard collision or a 40-yard collision. If you do say, you know what, we want no part of this, we're kicking a touchback, now you get it at the 30.
Instead of the 25.
Yeah, and instead of not that long ago, the 20.
I don't know if I liked that part.
Well, they don't want you kicking touchbacks. They want returns.
I want to kick the ball out of the end zone.
Well, then they'll get it at the 30.
I don't like that either.
Well, so now you have a dilemma. That's what exactly.
It's not my dilemma. It's Bubba Ventrone's dilemma.
Well, it's the dilemma.
Thank God.
No fair catches are allowed now. So that whole thing where you could fair catch and then take it to the 25, that's gone. So you
better do something with it.
You're returning it. If it's in, if they kick it to the 1 yard line, you must return it. In the event that a team wants to attempt an onside kick, it will have to inform officials of its intent, and would then be allowed to use the NFL's traditional formation. So there will not be any more surprise onside kicks like we saw in the Super Bowl those many years ago, the Colts and the Saints. No more surprise onside kicks. You know what's happening or not. So this makes me think that they also got rid of the like 4th and 20 play for an onside kick.
I
like that idea. All right. A couple of moves from around the NFL yesterday. Falcons, All-Pro and Pro Bowl returner Cordarrelle Patterson expected to sign with the Steelers, 2 years, $6 million, reunites with Arthur Smith.
Right after the kickoff rule was changed.
Yeah, because he's going to be very good at it. Well, when we have Nyheim Hines. All-Pro Pro Bowl cornerback Tre'Davious White, one of the best free agents still out there, has signed with the L.A. Rams.
So it's interesting. I guess the guy that did his Achilles surgery,
yeah,
he and him have become really good friends, and he's out in L.A., and that's how he ends up in L.A.
Listen, sometimes it's who you know, right? That's how you get into these things. All right, when we come back, Kelsey Russo, Browns staff writer in studio. Get her thoughts on free agency, recap the week at the NFL owners' meetings. It's all coming your way next here on Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, a sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Have you ever thought about hitting a golf ball inside Cleveland Browns Stadium? Did I make you jump right there?
A little bit.
Now's your chance, thanks to Upper Deck Golf. Friday, June 21st, Saturday, June 22nd, enjoy a unique VIP golfing experience while hitting tee shots from the upper deck down to custom greens on the Browns Stadium field below. For more information, go to upperdeckgolfing.com and reserve your tee times today. That's upperdeckgolfing.com. Very happy to be joined for the first time in studio by Kelsey Russo, Browns staff writer. Follow her on X. I still would say Twitter. Follow her on X at Kelsey Russo, KelseyYRusso. Second Y.
Yes. There was Kelsey Russo just with one Y was taken.
Was already in the mix.
Yes. So that was my solution to still keep my name. But
do you have a middle name?
Yeah, it's Alexis, but Kelsey A. Russo was also taken. Yeah, so that was
man.
I had to get creative like 10 years ago.
I'm pretty sure, at least I know I have never met another Nathan Zagura. I've never heard of another Nathan Zagura. I've never had any competition for any email ever or any
only.
Of that. So, yeah, I guess. Who knew there were so many Kelsey Russos
apparently.
Out there?
Apparently.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So you were down in Orlando. How was it?
It was great. It was an awesome couple days, obviously, to get out of the Ohio weather and cold was especially nice. But it's cool to be at the meetings and get to see a lot of coaches and people around the league and get to talk to people. And so it was a good couple days.
All right. So this is your first year where you went to the combine as well.
Yes.
So now you've done the combine and the owners meetings. If next year I said to you, you can only do one of those two things, which would you choose?
Ooh, I'd probably say owners meetings because
because it's either going to be in Florida or Arizona.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. Smart. All right. I like that. We'll start with, our ownership. Haslam's talked. What did you kind of gather from that?
Yeah, a couple really kind of important topics. Obviously, the big thing was stadium, stadium news. And so it was really interesting to hear their perspective on how they're really staying open-minded to sort of two potential pathways.
And you wrote an article to this effect on ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app.
Yes.
Check it out. Okay.
Yes, yeah. So basically about either renovating downtown or a new potential site. And so, but their conversation was really eye-opening and really good to hear how they're approaching the situation, the continuous conversations they're having, and how they're really open-minded to just helping grow Cleveland and doing what is best for the fans. And so that was kind of the overall that thing. And then on the football side of it, you know, they talked about how they're, you know, in the progress of working through extensions with Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry.
So you were there, did you say to AB and Kevin, like, wait, what's the deal? What's going on?
Well,
they had to be happy about that.
Yes. Yeah. You know, Andrew doesn't usually talk about contract extensions, so he didn't talk about his. But it was really interesting to hear from Dee and Jimmy about their perspective on what the two have done as a unit, you know, over the past 4 years, and why they're so excited about this. And so those were kind of my two main takeaways from
them. And there also was some talk about Mike Vrabel a little bit. Do you have a better understanding now of what Mike Vrabel is going to do, or maybe just kind of how it came about?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is, you know, he's as a consultant sort of going to be around just as, you know, a sounding board for Kevin, for Andrew. And, you know, it was interesting, Andrew was talking about how they believe he's probably not going to be, he'll be back in the mix for a coaching job next year. And that's obviously the goal. So this is kind of that opportunity to pick another head coach's brain and have him in-house and be around. And, you know, I think they're still working through all the nuances of his role, but having him here is just that really good opportunity to have another coach on staff.
Sure. I kind of thought, too, when they mentioned that he'd be working with both Stefanski and Andrew Berry, that he probably, I know he was not happy with what happened in Tennessee when they traded A.J. Brown, so I think he probably is trying to see, hey, can I get enough tools in my toolbox to go say, I want to either be head coach and GM somewhere for the job I want, or, you know, there's plenty of great people who are probably ready to be GMs in our building that he can, okay, well, I'll take a Glenn or a Kat with me and we'll go do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that'll be fun. All right, so A.B., Kevin also talked. Start with Coach. What did you take away from Coach?
The big things we talked about was, you know, Deshaun Watson's progress with the shoulder, and, you know, and Nick Chubb's progress as well, and just kind of those, you know, being the big injuries from last year to two stars, their progress. We also talked about free agency and just kind of the moves that they made.
Jerry Jeudy.
Yep, his extension was a big topic as well. And just kind of what Jerry brings to the table as well. And so Kevin was talking about how his skill set, how it adds to the receiving core and everything that he provides to complement Amari, to complement Elijah, which I thought was really interesting. And we also talked about the draft as well, kind of the outlook on the draft of, you know, that's sort of the next big thing in the offseason. And so, you know, well, now they have 5 picks and kind of what that process looks like moving this last stretch before the draft.
All right, let's go back to Jerry Jeudy kind of specifically.
Yes.
What were the things that maybe jumped out about, number one, what they feel like his skill set brings to the team, and then two, the extension, which once the official numbers came out, seems very favorable for the Cleveland Browns if Jerry Jeudy is the player they believe he is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I asked Andrew Berry this yesterday too, like, why do the extension now when he hasn't played with the team and everything? And honestly, a lot of it was about contract management and how they see this as an opportunity to keep him here and see what he can bring to the table. You know, as we've seen some contracts of guys sort of blow up. And so that was kind of that process.
Kind of like what they did with Chief, too. They
exactly.
They extended Chief before he really became what they thought. Yep.
Yeah. And so, but, you know, Kevin was talking about how he can, you know, win in a bunch of different ways. And so his ability to separate, his ability to make plays with the football, his ability to, after the catch, be able to make plays as well, was the kind of the things that he saw that really stood out that could complement that room. And Andrew really echoed those same kind of sentiments of how he can, you know, create separation and everything.
Sure. Great route runner.
Yes. And so those things really stood out about what they had to say about Jerry, I think.
All right. Was there any more talk about, because I haven't heard Andrew Berry yet. We're playing that on the show tomorrow. We just had a couple snippets from him. Was there any more talk about Brazil?
They were very, nobody knows. That's what we keep hearing is nobody knows. They're still waiting to hear they're just waiting to hear about anything. So no news
yet.
Yeah. But we'll
see. I feel
like
it would be very interesting if we went to Brazil. I'll say that. We'll see if that ends up happening or not. So you have that aspect of it. You mentioned the draft coming up. We might make a second round pick. Could you lock AB down and say, will you actually pick in the second round? Because it's been not only 2 years back to back without first round picks, also 2 years back to back without second round picks.
Yeah. So he did say that, you know, never off the table about moving around.
Sure.
But, you know, I thought it was interesting that his kind of mindset was that especially because of where number 54 falls there, you have to be flexible with how you look at that pick. You can't really lock in position group or anything. And so, you know, it's not off the table that they wouldn't move the pick, he said, but which makes sense, but they're still going to have the pick. So just we'll see what happens.
Seemingly unlikely.
Yes.
Was there any kind of, as you're maybe not even in a formal interview setting, but as you're kind of working around, talking around the league, thoughts on, number one, that they're going to be playing on Christmas Day on a Wednesday. Yeah. Let's start with that.
That was crazy.
crazy. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Not interested.
Yeah. Yeah. And now there's two games, right? Was that the other aspect? There's two games going to be on Christmas Day. So the sentiment was really interesting around when I was kind of just walking around the resort and just kind of as the news was sort of coming out, people were not so thrilled about it, I would guess I would say. They were like, okay, interesting.
Yes.
So we'll
agreed.
See. Yeah.
Agreed. So there's that part of it. Then some major rules. AB was able to get it moved back 1 week, even though he wanted to. And frankly, I think he should get all the way back to week 12, but maybe baby steps. I know that he was very passionate about this.
Yes. Yeah. So we talked about it. It was interesting how his proposal obviously didn't go through, but he was very passionate about their proposal for week 10. But seeing that you know, just 1 week, they'll take that in the sense of at least
better
moves,
than not.
Moves. Yes.
Yep.
I thought Kevin's answer during the breakfast was kind of comical. You know, somebody asked him about it and he was like, I'll support AB and what AB says is what AB says.
Yep.
And so I just thought that was funny of how he approached that of like completely supporting AB's approach in there.
Well, because it's better for the teams.
100%.
You need the time to have the knowledge of what your season actually looks like before you say we're going to give up a draft pick to bring in a veteran or not. I just think teams don't know, and the teams that would be sellers don't know that they're sellers yet.
Yes.
I mean, it was last year, I think almost the whole league was still in it by like week 13 or 14. Maybe two teams had been eliminated at that point. So
you need to
give it time so that moves can be made.
AB was talking about too, like, you know, it kind of the haves and the haves not, have nots.
Yeah.
And you need that time to kind of tell that
what
aspect
you are.
Of it. Yeah. And so I 100% agree. So I think, you know, 1 week is progress. I think, you know, they obviously would have loved for two. But
listen, we'll take a week a year, and then in 4 years it'll be where it should be.
Exactly.
All right. They've revamped kickoff, and the hope is, I'm sure as you heard, to get more returns, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that kind of the thought process here?
Yes. Yeah, it definitely is. And I think it's an interesting
Was Bubba
change.
There?
Bubba wasn't there. At least I didn't see
you
him.
Didn't see Bubba.
So
okay.
I don't think so. But similar thing, Kevin talked about how, you know, he and Bubba have talked about it, and they were in favor of it, and so I think it makes sense in allowing that aspect of the game to grow. And now you have two, like, you know, we added
Naheem.
Yeah, so you have solid punt returner who can and kickoff returner who is really good at that aspect of the game, and
yes.
So it's a cool element of like, all right, well now this is part of the game.
It's gonna be a big part of the game,
I think. And we have a guy that can do that. So
yeah, we got to get him in bubble wrap. We've seen what's happened with Jakeem
Grant,
unfortunately, the last 2 years when we thought we were getting, you know, one of the best in the game. And now you got a chance there with Naheem Hines. Was there anything else other than take out of the conferences? But is this your kind of, you know, you work the room. For example, when we were at the draft, like you pick up on things that are going to happen. Was there any kind of general league talk or any news, rumors, things like that that you heard? Were people as upset as I was that the Steelers got Justin Fields for a 6th-round pick? Because I'm upset about it.
They didn't talk about it. I didn't hear a lot of people talk about it there. This honestly seemed more relaxed. People were just kind of taking in where we're at in the offseason.
Sure.
And a lot of that news, I guess, hadn't been totally talked about. It seemed very, more so the rules, honestly, more so the kickoff rule and the trade deadline seemed to be the topics that I heard floating around and talked a lot about with guys. So
when you were down, what was maybe your favorite interaction with somebody that you got to talk to or anything that you enjoyed?
I did. Actually, this is a funny story. So the reception Monday night that they had for coaches, owners, media people, et cetera, I was sitting at a table with one of my friends that covers the Falcons.
Okay.
And
serious franchise now that they have Kirk Cousins.
Yes,
so they're very excited.
Yes. and we're sitting there just like catching up, and Andy Reid and Tammy Reid come and just sit down at the table with us, and they're like, can we come sit? And we were like, sure. And so we chatted with them for probably a solid hour and a half just about like really everything. I mean, we talked about like baking and like just all of the things and just their off season. And it was just really cool to kind of be in that environment and be able to talk to.
And they're like disarmed.
And yes, exactly. But like, and talk to a Super Bowl winning head coach and somebody who's been around the league. And, you know, we shared that like this was my first year in the league. And my friend Tori, you know, she's been with the Falcons for a few years, but just our perspective as being on the team side as writers. And it was really cool to get to know them and just talk to them.
That's cool.
And just kind of like a, like that, when that would that ever happen?
Did he say anything about like this year was, I mean, I'm sure the most recent is always the sweetest, but because so many people wrote the Chiefs off this year and then they still found a way to do it.
Yeah. He said it was a really special, really special season for them. So, and for him specifically. So it was cool to hear that and like, talk to them.
I'd like to have a special season for us. I think that would be, I think that would be a ton of fun.
I think it's possible.
So in addition, of course, in addition to kind of going down there and you know, stuff that you were able to get, and you can get Kelsey stuff on at an X at KelseyYYRUSSO, of course, at the Cleveland, on the Browns mobile platforms as well, or social platforms, I should say, and then clevelandbrowns.com, Browns mobile app, all your articles there. You also have been doing some of the backstage pass interviews, getting to meet some of our our newest Cleveland Browns. How's that been for you? You've enjoyed that?
I've really enjoyed it. It's been really cool to get to talk to them in that sort of manner and be one of the first to be get to know them and welcome them to Cleveland. And I've had some really cool conversations with, you know, with Naheem, with Giovanni, with Deonta. It's been like a cool opportunity to really just get to one, the football side and hear why they chose Cleveland, but then on the flip side also get to know them a little bit off the field and help introduce them to our fan base. And I think that's been a cool, it's been really cool for me.
Yeah, it's fun. Well, you've done a great job.
Thank you.
You did a great job today with us as well. So again,
hold on. What? She did go to the University of Georgia, and I believe that you have a certain burger joint down there that you're a big fan of.
Yeah, you know Grindhouse?
Yes. Yes.
That's my buddy. That's my college roommate's business. So
oh my
he has
gosh.
All the Grindhouses in Atlanta and Athens. That was Nick Chubb's favorite place when he went down there. Yeah. So yeah, that's my buddy, Al B.
Wow.
He's the Burger King of Georgia.
Okay. Yeah. That was our spot. We would literally was down the street from where I lived for 3 years with my college roommates. Yeah. So we would go there all the time, and that's awesome.
People are listening, if you happen to be going down to Atlanta or Athens, you got to check out Grindhouse. They also opened a new restaurant, Breaker Breaker, down there as well. There's one in the airport, but I would say you got to go to the store to get the actual experience.
Yeah.
You might run into, who knows, if Nick Chubb wasn't here rehabbing in a hyperbaric chamber at 5 a.m, he probably would be there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
How about it?
Yeah.
Good. What a drop by Gibbon. Huge P.
This is a small one.
Imagine this, but bigger. That's what Gibbe. Awesome. Kelsey, thank you so much for the time.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. All right. Hour number two coming up next. We are going to go higher or lower, a.k.a. better or worse, team by team, ranking the AFC teams after free agency's first wave. We better be near the top of the list. We have an unbelievable Griff Fact of the Day coming up, and then we've got Mailbag Wednesday, presented by Cross Country Mortgage. Good thing I'm not Ron Burgundy, the official mortgage partner of the Cleveland Browns. That's coming up, so get your questions in. We got a bunch of Bobby questions in reserve for sure if we need to, so we'll get to that as well. All right, hour number two, Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, a sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns. Time now for a segment I like to call Better or Worse, but some other people like to call it Higher or Lower, presented by Keep It Fun Ohio from the Ohio Lottery, presented by Keep It Fun Ohio, who reminds you to set time and spending limits when gambling. Also, real quickly, be sure to check out the Browns' social media channels daily to play the Browns' digital scratch-off game for your chance to win club seats and other great prizes. That's presented by the Ohio Lottery, the official lottery of the Cleveland Browns. All right, this comes from our friends at CBS Sports, Jordan D., ranking the AFC teams after free agency's first wave.
I have
no
idea.
It's either Dejani or Dahani.
Don't know.
Because it but could be silent.
I was saying, you did a good job.
Yeah, just thank you.
Talking over that.
All right, here we go.
I figure we just go team by team.
Okay.
And if they should be higher, lower, yep. or if they're just right.
I like it.
Number one, post-free agency, the Kansas City Chiefs. Key addition, Hollywood Brown. Key loss, offensive lineman Nick Allegretti. Now, what about L'Jarius Sneed?
That's a big loss, yeah, L'Jarius.
I feel like that's a bigger one than their offensive lineman.
Yeah, L'Jarius Sneed. Well, this was – when was this written?
It was at the top of their storyboard this morning.
Well, this says
– yeah, it still says –
they franchise tag cornerback L'Jarius Sneed while keeping an open mind to a trade. There's a possibility Sneed could return in Kansas City. So, no, can't. He's traded to Tennessee.
So he immediately becomes the biggest loss.
Yeah, and we know now Tennessee's secondary, boy. That's some secondary give me.
Boy, is
The Chiefs. So you add in Hollywood Brown. Look, they're the Super Bowl champions. They showed an ability to win by playing great defense. Chris Jones is back. And by running the ball, Isaiah Pacheco's back. They still have Pat Mahomes. They still have Travis Kelce. And they add a former first-rounder who can fly in Hollywood Brown, which I think is one of the better fits of the offseason. I think they're still number one. I think they're just right.
Same.
They're the champ. They're the defending champs.
Correct. Until they get beat.
Yeah.
Or show us something otherwise, they are the defending champs. Next.
Higher or lower?
Number two, the Ratbirds from Baltimore. Key addition, Derrick Henry.
Yep.
Key loss, Patrick Queen, Geno Stone, offensive guard, John Simpson.
I would also you could
say
keep going on.
Matabike.
You could also keep going, though. They also lost Zeitler off of their offensive line. They also lost Clowney so far. He's unsigned.
OBJ, supposedly.
Odell Beckham, Kyle Van Noy. Those are their top two sack getters, where Van Noy, outside of Matabike, were Van Noy and Clowney. So they've had one significant addition, and that's Derrick Henry. They've also lost Gus Edwards. They have had numerous departures. Oh, they also lost their entire defensive staff. They lost their defensive coordinator. They lost their defensive line coach. They lost their secondary coach. The only one they kept was their linebacker coach, Zach Orr, who is now their defensive coordinator. But their DC is now the head coach in Seattle. Their defensive line coach is now the DC, Anthony Weaver, in Miami. So they had a lot of change. And I think really they've only had one good item.
Yeah. I think this is too high for them right now.
I think it is definitely too high.
I think
for
they
them.
Should be lower. I don't know where, but I think they should be lower. Next.
Higher or lower?
This is one that I feel like everybody's starting to crown, and maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't. Now there's expectations, so let's see how the chips fall. Number three is the Houston Texans. Key additions?
Listen, I'm going to just come out and say it, and I realize this is Cleveland Browns Daily, and people might say you're being a homer. I think we have the second best, because we don't have Patrick Mahomes, and we aren't the defensive. I think we have the second best roster top to bottom in the AFC. I really do. I think we have the second best roster in the AFC, so I'm putting us second. So everybody above us comes down. Houston, it's all there, baby. Danielle Hunter is a massive upgrade over Grenard. Denico Autry is one of the best interior pass rushers in the league. Now, Rankins and Collins both played well last year, but I think that's an upgrade. Joe Mixon, I wonder if that's an upgrade over Devin Singletary. I'm not sure. Azeez Al-Shaair, a good inside linebacker. That's a great thing for this football team. You love C.J. Stroud. You love Nico Collins. You love Will Anderson. Tank Dell will be back. They've got Dalton Schultz at tight end. They've got great corner in Stingley. They've got the safety in Petrie. They can rush the passer. They're good.
And they're in a winnable division.
They're for sure the favorite in this division, but this team is going to be fun to watch. You know, you assume Stroud continues to progress. If he does, scary. This is a good team. Is it too much too soon in terms of where they are? I guess, but at the end of the day, would it surprise us if they were the 3 seed in the AFC? No. Wouldn't surprise me if they were the 2 seed in the AFC. In fact, I wouldn't even be surprised if they were the 1 seed in the AFC, because their division might pose the least resistance. The North is going to be a bloodbath. The AFC East is going to have, in theory now, Bills, Jets, Dolphins all being good. And the AFC West is going to have the Chiefs, Chargers. West is probably, I mean, the Kansas City will probably be the one seeding. But Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders, I don't know.
I'm not.
Broncos, new. No. Broncos are garbage.
Next.
Higher or lower?
The Bengals come in at number 4 on this list.
Yep.
Key additions, Zach Moss, Sheldon Rankins, Geno Stone, Mike Gesicki. Awuzie, they lose. They lose Jonah Williams. They lose Mixon, and they lose DJ Reader.
Reader's probably the biggest loss for them. Geno Stone's a great add. They also brought back Von Bell.
Yeah.
So they redid their safety room, which is that's going to be a nice win for them. Rankins
Zach
is a great
Moss
get.
Is a nice pickup, I think, for them.
He is. He'll replace Joe Mixon. You know, he's never really been able to do it as the guy for a season. So we'll see how that goes. You know, but he filled in so well for Jonathan Taylor last year. It was a career year. As long as they have Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase, like they're good.
I mean, the T. Higgins thing changes this ranking a lot depending on what happens.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see what does happen with T. Yeah. Higgins.
Number 5 is your Cleveland Browns. You talked about it. They should be higher. The key additions, Jordan Hicks, Jerry Jeudy, Devin Bush, Nyheim Hines. Losses, Elliott Walker Jr. and Flacco. But they don't talk about the fact, you know, and he talks about it in here. First of all, keep in mind the Browns are getting a large chunk of their injured players from 2023 back. Even with all the backups, the Browns still won double-digit games, made the postseason. Imagine what this team is capable of if they remain healthy.
Right, which is why I said we have the second-best team. I mean, we have to do it, obviously. But on paper, we've got the second-best team. And so, yeah, I couldn't agree with him anymore. You re-signed key players. You brought back everybody, and you're getting guys back that weren't healthy last year. Like this, it's a team that has a chance to be very, very special.
So, in other words, 3 of the top 5 teams in the are in the AFC North. In the AFC.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
Ugh. Next.
And he's got the Steelers are. Where are the Steelers at? The AFC's good. I mean, the Steelers are a good team, and they're going to be 10th in this division. So you got the Bills coming in at 7th, at 6th. I probably would bump Jacksonville down a little bit. I'm just not sure about what – I still like them, but I'm not sure. I'd probably bump the Jets up if Rodgers really is healthy, and I'd bump the Steelers up now with Russ over the Jags.
I feel like the three teams on this page, Buffalo 6th, Miami 7th, Jacksonville 8th, have all had big losses.
Yep. No, I mean, you look at the losses for the Bills, Gabe Davis, Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, Leonard Floyd, Mitch Morse, Dane Jackson. It's going to be very interesting to see how this team goes. I could see moving them lower, but when you got Josh Allen, you're always in it. That's the Josh Allen factor. I think the Dolphins have improved their team, but also they had big losses. They get Jordan Brooks, Kendall Fuller, Shaq Barrett, Jordan Poyer, AWOC, but they lost Christian Wilkins, who was probably the best player on their D. Xavien Howard, who for a long time was their best corner. Good linebacker in Jerome Baker. Robert Hunt got huge money as a guard. Van Ginkle is a very good situational pass rusher. So they've lost quite a bit as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting when you look at the number of guys that that these three teams are having to replace.
Yeah. I kind of like the Jets better than – I actually like the Jets better right now than any of those three teams.
You can make that argument as long as Aaron Rodgers is healthy.
If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, they've got Garrett Wilson. And didn't they just sign somebody?
Yeah, who did they
– It's not on here. Didn't they just sign a good receiver? Mike Williams.
Yeah, they just got Mike Williams.
Okay, so you're talking about Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams,
up to date.
Breece Hall, with Aaron Rodgers and that defense. I'm putting them all the way up to number 6.
As long as A-Rod is,
he's going to be healthy for this season.
I don't know.
Yes.
Who knows? It's Aaron. I have no idea.
No, he's going to be healthy for this season.
So the Bills were 6, Dolphins 7, Jacksonville 8. The Jets were 9. The Squealers were 10. You could make the argument that you'd put Pittsburgh ahead of Jackson.
You have to. You get Patrick Queen. You get Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Dante Jackson. That is huge.
They have a really good defense.
the Fields trade is unbelievable for them. It's going to be...
They should just play Fields.
But yes. They're gonna run, going to run. They're going to use play action. They're going to play great defense. They... I wouldn't have a problem putting the Jets 6, Bills 7, Steelers 8, Dolphins 9, Jags 10.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
I hate saying it, but that team's going to be pretty good. The Colts, you know, Anthony Richardson obviously is going to be the quarterback. We'll see what happens there. I like the Chargers better than the Titans just because they have Justin Herbert. And I think Jim Harbaugh, whether you like him or you don't, I know a lot of people around these parts don't because of what he was able to do at Michigan coming off their national championship. But he's going to win in the NFL.
They need some more playmakers.
Well, they're going to draft...
I mean, as long as they stay at 5, they're going to get a wide receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to get weapons for your quarterback.
I mean, I draft Marvin Harrison Jr. If it goes quarterback, 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 you get Marvin Harrison Jr. in there. You have last year's first-round pick. You got Gus Edwards. I mean, who's going to run it a lot. And you got Herbert. I think Chargers – I just think they're going to be better than Tennessee. And then you got the Raiders who made some weird splashes – and then the Patriots, and they've got the Broncos last. So I certainly wholeheartedly agree with that.
I mean, I don't – the Raiders' key additions, Christian Wilkins.
Huge.
Gardner Minshew. Alexander Mattison.
And Mattison was terrible in Minnesota last year, like terrible. And that's replacing Josh Jacobs?
Correct. You lose Josh Jacobs, Nichols, a defensive lineman, an offensive lineman.
The rest
wide receiver
of
Renfro.
Jacobs is the big loss. I mean, really, you would say they also lost, right, Jimmy Garoppolo, because wasn't he still on their team last year?
Yeah.
So he's not anymore. Yeah, they get Wilkins. They're going to have a very good defensive front. They'll be frisky, but and they're probably appropriately rated. I might like them a little bit more than the Titans. I don't know. I don't know what the Titans are really doing.
None of us know, but if they get good quarterback play...
So they'll have Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins, Tony Pollard at running back.
I mean, they have the makings of something that could make a run in their division or make
things interesting.
I think
they're going to be more fun on – it's going to be different than the old Titans. I think they're going to be more fun on offense than they are on defense. I think on defense they could
– Would you take Titans or Colts right now?
Colts. Colts were almost in the playoffs last year.
Okay.
They almost knocked Houston right out of the playoffs. In fact, they should have if the guy doesn't drop a pass on fourth down.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to Indy.
We're going to Indy, which would have been much nicer. No, I think they're pretty good. It's going to come down to, obviously, what they get from Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
If he's good, they could be good. They can run it. We've got some good weapons in the pass game, and they've got a solid defense.
Who's worse, Patriots or Broncos? Patriots were 15, Broncos were 16.
Broncos. Broncos are... The Broncos are absolutely dreadful. Awful.
I mean, I don't know if the Patriots are much better. And I don't know.
Yeah, but I would say with Jacoby Brissett as their quarterback, like, they're going to do some things. By the way, shout out to Mac Wilson for being listed as a key loss for them. Good for him.
Where'd he end up?
Arizona. Got like decent money. He got decent money. Tak got good money up there in New England. Good to see some of the former Browns getting that bag. You like to see that. All right, when we come back, Griff Fact of the Day time, and I have a feeling that these facts of the day are going to spurn some interesting questions, stories.
I also have some additional NFL news.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is it a tease or you want to do it right now? Is it breaking?
No. Well, no, not breaking.
Okay.
But I want to get your thoughts on it.
I want to give you my thoughts.
Perfect.
All right. When we return, Cleveland Browns Daily brought to you by Ballybet.
Cleveland Browns Daily brought to you by Ballybet. Now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Questions in because we got the mailbag coming up. I know we got a lot of old Bobby ones that
correct.
We can run
through.
Correct.
We have some from earlier in the week when we didn't get to them with Ask Tyvus.
Get in here right now. Let's go. Get your mailbag questions and have some fun with that. Time now for one of my favorite parts of the show each and every day here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's time for the Griff Fact of the Day. Fact of the day, fact of the day, fact of the day. It's the Griff fact of the day. Griff. Griff, when I asked you earlier today if you had a fact of the day ready, what'd you say?
I said, yes, I do, and it's about me, actually.
And how excited was I? That's what I wanted. I wanted
excited.
A Griff fact of the day about you. I don't know enough about hockey. I was very impressed by what that guy's doing for the Colorado Avalanche. It's very impressive, but I wanted to know more about young Griff, and that's exactly what I'm getting here, and I love it.
Well, I appreciate it. So for today's fact of the day, I kind of want to do a little bit of a blast for the past for me.
Yep.
And so as a teenager growing up, I really wanted my driver's license.
Sure, of course.
And so I actually ended up getting my farmer's permit at 14 years old. But before I could actually get this permit, my grandfather had a set of rules that I had to abide by in order to do this.
Question.
Yes.
Farmer's permit means that you could drive, like, trucks and farm equipment as long as it was on farm business?
Not exactly. So I could drive from work to school, school to home. I don't know if Ohio has
at 14 years
permit.
Old?
Yes, at 14 years old. So I was driving legally on the road at 14 years old, a freshman in high school. The only thing that I couldn't do was if I had someone like in the passenger seat or just someone riding with me in general, it either had to be a member of my family or no one at all. And then I don't know if this was a rule that my mom set just for me, but I couldn't drive past 10 p.m.
Okay.
So
I just find it terrifying. And I'm sure you were you're here. So
yes.
You've made it through this. But the notion that I would be riding around on the roads with 14-year-olds just driving around trucks sounds
right.
scary to me.
Well, I mean, I grew up on the countryside, so I mean, I've been driving like ATVs since I was like 8, 9 years old on dirt roads, so driving for me was nothing.
Okay.
But yeah, my grandfather, before I could actually get my permit, he had me, there was a requirement of 3 things that he set for my brothers and I. Number 1, I had to learn how to change my own tire. Number 2 was I had to learn how to change my own oil. And 3, I had to learn how to drive stick shift before anything else. And so what he did is my dad, my grandpa, and I, my dad had an old, do you remember what an Isuzu was?
Of course.
Okay, he had an old Isuzu car.
Joe Isuzu.
Yes.
Or Joe Super, I don't remember. Yeah, yes, I do remember Isuzu, yep.
So we had to take the old Isuzu car, and they just had me out in like just some open parking lot, and I had to learn how to do stick shift that way. Luckily, I didn't drop the transmission.
Good.
I could have a few times, but luckily I learned pretty quickly of how to do a stick shift, so very thankful for that.
Yes. So here's the bringing up. A Japanese multinational car company. I'm trying to see when they were big in the U.S. because I don't feel like they're not really around in the U.S. anymore.
No, I've probably seen maybe like 2 or 3 since I've moved out here to Ohio. But there's a few back home that still drives around, but I don't think they make too many cars anymore.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, they make some stuff outside of North America for places, but there you go. It's for trucks in mostly Asia and Africa is where they do a lot of their work. They discontinued the sale of passenger vehicles in the United States January 31st, 2009. So there it is. Okay, so you had to know how to change your own tire, change your own oil, and drive stick shift. My question is, this would be something that is verifiable. So did you have to, like, change a tire in front of your grandpa to his satisfaction?
Yes, I did.
And change the oil in front of him to his satisfaction?
Yes, I did. Out in our barn on his lot. So I had to change a tire a couple of times because he also wanted me to make sure that I could do it in a timely fashion.
Mm.
And so like, even to this day, I could probably change a tire. If the bolts and everything are working with me, I could probably do it in about 20 minutes, 25 minutes of changing my own tire. So,
okay.
So, yeah.
It's impressive. It's impressive. And then driving stick, I drove stick as well.
Yes.
And it is I wish that I could still do that. I wish mm-hmm. They're not many out there anymore.
Right.
Total control over the car. Loved it.
Exactly.
Felt like a race car driver.
The only thing that I did not like about our Isuzu, it was one of my first cars that I ever drove, but we had this steep hill in my hometown that I always had to drive towards to get to high school, and there would always be people just tailgating behind me. It's like, do they not know this is a manual? Like, it's going
You're
going to
roll back a little bit.
Yeah.
So you had to get on that gas.
Yes.
Was it a very loose clutch, too?
Yes, it was very loose.
So that makes it hard because you needed the ones that have little pressure so you can kind of hold it in a state of not moving before you can get it to go, because when it's super loose, it goes.
Yes, exactly. But I'm very thankful that I did not hit anyone by rolling back. I'm pretty sure I was like within inches or centimeters of a couple of them. So
yeah, no, that's one of the tough parts about the stick shift is doing that. Has Gibby ever driven a stick shift? Griff, great job. Great fact of the day.
Good job. Carries the segment as Bo
could
Bishop
he,
liked to say.
Could he, Griff, could you do these things all today still?
He had to change his tire during the preseason, he said. I know how to change. Tire changing, no problem. Oil change, I can kind of get through it. It's a little rough.
Zero chance for me on an oil change. 100% I can change a tire.
I say I can get through the oil change. I don't know if that's...
I don't even know where to begin.
I learned how to drive stick, but not till I moved to Illinois. Okay. I was like 22. I get hired as the marketing promotion director out in central Illinois. I get there. One of the station vehicles is a beer truck. Now, the one side had been carved out, and it was a giant boombox.
Oh,
so you
man.
Lifted the door. Like, I might have borrowed it for numerous
I'm sure.
Gibbs-type parties.
I'm sure you have.
But it was awesome. It had a generator. It had a cooler so you could put beer in and keep it cold on the one side.
Yep.
But it was a 10-gear stick shift. Like, it had the original 1 through 5, then you had to flip the switch to go 6 through 10. I had no idea how to drive stick. My boss was, and my one of my great friends now, was like, you're going to learn how to drive stick. We're going to take this out on the back roads here in central Illinois, and you got to know how to drive this. And it was a beast to drive. It was quite the challenge.
Yeah.
But, and like Griff said, like you imagine being nervous on a hill in a car. How about a big beer truck with a car that's deciding that they want to be about 6 inches from your bumper on a hill?
Yikes.
I'm like, I'm not qualified. Like, I don't know. I'm like, do I need a CDL for this? And they're like, nah. I'm like, nah or no or yes. And we're just going to just roll through that.
Yeah. No, that's always, I think about, you know, when I was in the Bay Area, get those hills in San Francisco like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be tough. I have a lot of respect for people who drive six. I loved it. Obviously, there's just
it was fine.
Not
I,
many
I,
of
I can
them
do it.
Yeah. When I picked up, I bought a car off of eBay right after college, flew to Rochester, New York, picked it up, took it to the dealer to get it verified that it was in the condition that it was said that it was in, completed the transaction, and then I drove it back from Rochester, New York to Atlanta, Georgia, and it was a stick, and I had not driven stick before. So I basically like taught myself. And my parents had stick shift cars, but my car in college, it was always a column shift. It was an automatic. And so I kind of like taught myself to drive stick on that ride back, which was fun.
That's crazy.
1994 Audi S4 was the car.
Really?
Yep.
It's very nice. Congratulations on all your successes.
It was in 1994 in the year 2002.
Minor detail.
Minor detail.
It was...
Yeah, I'm not that old, Gibby.
I had like
just yet.
I can't remember the one car I got. I was driving, and it said it was a turbo, and I was like, "I have a turbo."
Yeah, buy turbo.
Sure. Okay, great. I don't know what that means, but
it means it's
turbo.
Gonna kick up some extra oxygen and gas,
another
and get you going faster.
To get pulled over.
Exactly. All right. When we come back, time for the mailbag here as we wrap it up on a First Friday, Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, a sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, a sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio. Time for our mailbag, presented by Cross Country Mortgage, the official mortgage partner of the Cleveland Browns. When it comes to financing, we always get you home. Visit ccm.com today. Equal housing opportunity, NMLS 3029.
Hi.
Do it.
Hi.
What's up, Gibby?
Doing a Wednesday mailbag, kind of a getaway day. We'll have some stuff over the next couple days that we haven't been able to play. Andrew Berry exclusive audio. We haven't heard from Jordan Hicks and his introductory presser.
Yep.
Jameis Winston and his presser.
Oh, baby.
We've got some pre-draft talk with Mel Kiper and with Field Yates that we've rolled on that we're going to play. We've got some other fun stuff as well over the next couple days that we just haven't gotten to in the last couple weeks because of free agency.
Yeah. But
gives us a chance to catch our breath a little bit and get ready because sooner rather than later, the players will be in the building. One other bit of news yesterday that came out before we get to the questions. This was from Jonathan Jones at CBS, and it kind of was under the radar. The HBO Hard Knocks in-season show will now follow all four teams within one division.
Oh, God.
I would have to think the AFC North on the top of that wish list.
Oh, boy. That would be something. That'd be interesting. All right.
Something to watch.
By the way, some mean person said, I don't think anyone is surprised that Silver Spoon Nathan Zagura. Silver Spoon Nathan Zagura.
Wow. Like,
I'm the farthest thing from Silver Spoon Nathan Zagura. Can't change a tire or change oil. I want to say, listen better. I said I could change a tire. I said I cannot change oil. Also, my Silver Spoon car doesn't even have oil in it. So I don't need to know how to change oil. It's in your face.
So angry.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah. Some people hear, some people listen.
Yeah, that's right.
Be a fan tweets at the show. You can tweet at the show at Browns_daily. What is your expectation for Jameis Winston regarding improvement on completion, interception ratio, progression, reads, and accuracy? How much does scheme come into play on that?
I think quite a bit, and coaching comes into play. My hope is honestly that we don't see Jameis Winston throw a pass outside of the preseason or in the fourth quarter of blowouts. So, but incredibly talented, great arm, can throw at all levels of the field, committed to being good. So, you know, people play good football with Kevin Stefanski, and I would expect Jameis Winston to do that as well.
And he's got a pretty good track record of coaching out the mistakes.
Yes.
Brian, he just had a comment. Is there still a chance a retractable dome could be built downtown? Richfield/Cavs still haunts me. Lake Erie wins a huge home field advantage. If I recall, there was space opposite Ontario in the flats where the Jake was being built. They were considering in the 90s. I think that's where the new Cavs practice facility is probably
down below. And you wouldn't be able to put a stadium there. I don't think it's the cost to build a dome down there on the existing area. Just I don't know that it makes sense with all the things you're going to be able to put around at another facility like this Brook Park area. Somebody said, why can't we just build the dome out into the lake like they would do in Abu Dhabi? Or Dubai, I just feel like that the cost of that would be astronomical.
Correct.
So I don't think that's going to happen.
That's not feasible for the city or for us.
Yeah, I don't see that being a thing whatsoever. I think it's going to be, and you know, people are posting polls around, and the majority of people, and certainly that I talked to, are 100% for a dome, and happy to move it downtown. It's a tough in and out. It's not comfortable.
And I love it. I love it downtown, but I also get
the economics of it. I don't think the wind is a huge home field advantage for us.
No, I think so. When people say the weather's a big advantage, I remind them of the time that J.J. Watt came running out. We were playing Houston like 10 years ago, and it was snowing sideways, and our guys were like not even coming out to warm up. And J.J. Watt was in an undershirt and shorts doing snow angels at the goal line. Yeah. I'm like, this isn't going to affect them at all.
Well, think about the coldest. We had the New Orleans game we lost to a dome team from the south. We had the year where there was a back-to-back crazy weather. We beat the Texans, COVID. And we lost to the Raiders.
We lose to the Raiders?
Yeah, they ran it right down our throats.
Yeah.
So It's not like every time the weather's bad, we win.
Correct. Weather can actually hurt you.
All right, this is a good one, and I want your answer to this, too, from David Cahoon. Who would win in a fight, a PB&J or a grilled cheese sandwich?
I saw that. That is tough because I love both of those in the least shocking news probably of the day.
Yeah, but it's a fight. So I'm going to say the PB&J is going to win.
I mean, there's two there's three elements there. PB&J.
Bread.
Bread.
Yeah.
And you got bread and cheese. Unless you're throwing a little bacon on.
Plus, I think the cheese is going to be, it's sticky there, and it's not going to be able to move as much. The jelly at least gives a little bit of a lubricant to the peanut butter, and it also supplies sugar for energy. So I think the PB&J is going to take it to the grilled cheese sandwich.
Make a mean grilled cheese.
It's a second round knockout.
Some good sourdough.
I don't think he's necessarily saying, which do you like better?
Correct.
I think he's saying if they came to life.
I'm trying to spin it my way.
If they came to life and fought, who would win?
I think I would agree with you on that.
Yeah.
With baseball season kicking off this week, which Browns opponent are you most interested in facing this coming year? Hashtag not a baseball guy. Hashtag missing pigskin. Our schedule's loaded.
So which?
I mean, you've got the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Dolphins, the Raiders, the Broncos. You've got the Eagles, the Cowboys,
I want to see the Chiefs.
Here?
Yeah.
Maybe you're waiting all day for Sunday night on that one.
There we go. Yeah, that would be great. Chiefs, the Super Bowl champs, excited to see them in person for real.
Yeah.
We haven't played.
At our place.
We played Mahomes to kick off of a season where they beat us
after our playoff
2021. Yeah.
And we had them.
We had them. So this is our next go-round with them. Yeah, that's the number one for me, for sure.
You want a measuring stick of where you are.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on the new kickoff rule? I see a lot more return TDs and coverage teams league-wide taking time to catch up. From Love a Dog Today.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. I think there will be more return touchdowns, and I think it will be I think it just is going to add some excitement back to that play, which has become almost like a ceremonial formality. Balls up. Like, you kind of almost could even tune out even in what we do. And, they're just going to kick it out of the end zone. And now it's good. There's going to be a return, it feels like, more often than not, which is exciting. And teams that can cover are going to have a real advantage. If you get good at covering that, you're going to be able to pin people, I think, back inside their 20 versus a touchback now going out to 30. That's a first down's worth of difference. If you can be a good coverage team, I think it could be a big advantage for you.
Janko chiming in, unless grilled cheese has a peanut allergy, melty cheese will smother the PBJ.
It's just not going to be able to move. It's going to try to move, and then it's going to stretch.
It's going to be too slow.
It's too slow. There's a nimbleness to the PB&J. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Griff, this is what happens in the off season, buddy.
Well, there's somebody's question.
Like, got three heads here. Enough from the clown.
Yes.
What Seinfeld or Curb storyline would you like to see play out in the CBD office?
Gosh, there's
a couple things that I don't know if I can say.
No, no contests.
Yeah, no. that's where I was going.
It's a great question. I wouldn't mind having like the Seinfeld reunion from Curb that season, or, I mean, I wouldn't mind being a part of Black Swan golfing and shenanigans at the golf course. That would be good.
Is the cousin of Mo Pedman, like, can he be Newman?
He would be a great Newman.
Like, yeah. Is there something there?
Yeah, there is something there. I would like, I mean, just anything. Just get me Larry David in this office, and I'd be happy. Just, that's it. We need him in the office. That's all we need.
What is a new hobby you would like to learn?
So, I've always wanted to become...
Oh, here we go.
A... like professional caliber archer, but I've never done it, and I wouldn't want to do it on one of those fancy schmancy bows with like all the pulleys and all that. So you're not. I want like as
the original bow and arrow,
Native American. Yes, original bow and arrow, or like a Robin Hood bow and arrow from
Griff has
England
a
times.
Scar
from bows
he's,
and arrows.
He's showing me a scar
from being an archer.
From being an archer, the old school way.
That's something I would like to do. I've really wanted to cook food and wine. I'm big on those hobbies. I've done a great job. I would also like to take time to ride every great water slide in the world.
It's intriguing.
I mean, it sounds like the best time ever.
I mean, what are the top water slides in the world?
I don't know, but I'd like to find them and ride them. What's the most underrated or overrated movie? Huh.
It's a tough question.
Underrated to me is the original Zoolander. I think is one of the funniest movies ever. I love it. So I think that one's underrated. Overrated? It's all these like serious movies now. Like Killers of a Flower Moon was well done. It was well acted. They beat you over the head with the storyline. They were terrible to the natives. And it's just like, okay, I thought that was overrated.
I don't know about the overrated.
I think taste is subjective, too.
Griff says Wolf of Wall Street.
No, wrong.
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
Long. A little long.
Long, but...
Ooh, he said overplayed. Now, TV overplay, that's a good point.
I think if you look back on... Now, they received a lot of Academy acclaim, but like the Lord of the Rings movies are underrated.
No, they're not.
Return of the King was best picture of the year, Gibbe.
Awful, awful.
No.
No way in hell.
I'll give you a movie that's underrated from my childhood that I really liked was Menace to Society.
Good movie.
Great movie. But you don't hear about it anymore.
Well.
I don't know. You still hear about Boys in the Hood still pops up from time to time.
Absolutely.
On TV.
I don't watch
same,
it.
Same time genre.
Ryan tweets at the show, match you are most looking forward to at WrestleMania.
I mean, as of right now, Ryan, it's night one's main event. The Rock and Roman Reigns against Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. Bloodline rules on at stake. I think there's no – I mean, The Rock right now is operating – if you're a professional wrestling fan or really have been at any point in your life, The Rock is operating at a level right now that's hard to even believe. Even he's the great one. He was my the best ever, in my opinion, and he's better now than he's ever been. His music's unbelievable.
That's
his whole
why you didn't need Hulk Hogan. That's why you voted him.
No, but he wouldn't be
four.
Here without Hulk Hogan.
Maybe
WrestleMania 18, The Rock, Hulk Hogan, Icon versus Icon, the passing of the torch. That was WrestleMania 18. We're on WrestleMania 40, brother. The Rock is so good right now. Like, the beatdown of Cody Rhodes at the end of Monday Night Raw. Rhodes didn't have to be this way, but now this is the only way. He is unbelievable. So anything that The Rock's involved with, and then obviously I'm looking forward to the main event the following night because we'll see how they finish the story and what's going to happen with Cody and Roman and all of that. And then, of course, the tag team match, the ladder match, because The Miz is in it. Go Miz.
Are you going?
I don't think I am this year.
Wow.
Sad, but I'll be here for SummerSlam. You better
when remember. Is – well, maybe you will.
April 6th and 7th. So it's
where's it at?
Philadelphia.
Ooh, the link.
Yeah,
getting it
I don't
back.
Think it's. I don't think it's good timing for me. So, unfortunately, no.
Campfire Races says, "Do you ever check out AEW, or are you strictly a WWE guy?"
I will on occasion watch AEW, but I am more of a WWE guy. Yeah, I'd say pretty much. I would like if he's an AEW guy. My dream scenario for WrestleMania is Bloodline rules. The Rock, they win night one. Night two, it's not John Cena or Stone Cold that come down to interfere and kind of distract The Rock so that Cody gets a fair shake and ends up beating Roman, but that it's MJF who comes and attacks The Rock, and then that's how you get to that fair one-on-one, and then now you're going to have MJF and The Rock on the mic leading up to MJF versus The Rock at SummerSlam. At Cleveland Brown Stadium. Oh, baby. Make a star. Unbelievable mic exchanges coming your way. It would be incredible. So that's what I want.
Favorite reality show, Bobby time.
Hey, seconds. Bobby. My favorite reality show. I'm going to leave it to like normal kind of reality. Now you're getting, you know, the golf one on Netflix, which is awesome. I guess Hard Knocks is a reality show, but I'm going to keep it to like reality TV, reality shows. And contest shows. My favorite like contest show is Top Chef. I love Top Chef. I can't get enough of Top Chef. I think it is a phenomenal show. It is so good.
I'm binging the Next Level Chef with Gordon Ramsay right now.
Is it good?
Where they go up and down.
Yeah.
It's great.
I just like seeing it. Just makes me hungry. It makes me want to cook awesome food.
Let's see. What game show would you be super awesome at?
I don't know enough random stuff for Jeopardy at this point. There was a time when I thought maybe I could have been pretty good on Jeopardy. Not anymore. I would say I think I'd be great on Wheel of Fortune.
Griff's in for Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, I think I'd solve some puzzles nicely.
Wasn't the Miz on Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah, I think so, on Celebrity Wheel of Fortune. I would also, they don't really have game shows. I'd like to be on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Deal or No Deal? Games where you just like, Deal or No Deal. It's like, do you want this much money or this much money? Okay, yeah. I want some money.
All right. That's today's mailbag. Thanks all for participating.
So the guy wrote back, so you can't change oil. Yeah, that's right. And you can't use proper punctuation because there's no apostrophe between the N and the T. Burn. We'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily after this.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right. That was a fun one. So, Gibbe, we had a question about ranking in Breaking Bad, Sopranos, and Game of Thrones. And you went what?
I would marry the Sopranos. I would drive Game of Thrones off the cliff.
What?
Yeah. And then what was the middle one?
Breaking Bad.
What was the option for? I can't remember. Breaking Bad date, is a great show.
I think it was
man.
Date,
great
marry,
series.
Or drive off of a bridge.
I would date.
You would date.
Yeah.
I gotta check that one out.
Game of Thrones simply for the end, man.
Right now we're in Sons of Anarchy. Yeah, but the ride was years of magic.
I'm sorry, I'm with Bo on this.
Doesn't ruin the whole show.
It ruins the whole show.
Does not ruin the whole show.
It does.
Wrong.
Breaking Bad is unbelievable.
All right. Andrew Barry tomorrow. Some other good fun stuff.
We'll get you through the rest of the week.
Yep. I'll be back with you on April Fools, but for real. Not a joke.
And
next level's next.
Bo will be back.
Huh?
Bo will be back.
And Bo will be back. Also not a joke. Real. All right. Next level's next. Thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and 850 ESPN Cleveland.